to kick off a trio of Downtown Hall of Fame guests this afternoon, we get on the telephone line to welcome in Downtown Hall of Famer, comedian Paula Poundstone.
Hello.
Is this the lovely and talented Paula Poundstone?
Well, it's Paula Poundstone anyways. There must be another one.
I can't believe it. I'm great. How are you?
Good enough.
Good, good. Well, it's nice to talk with you again.
Oh, good to talk with you.
Let's talk about coming to Maine. You'll be back here. Jonathan's in Ogunquit on July 12th, a veteran of making the trip to the state of Maine. Our weather is so unpredictable here. We were in the 90s last week. Then it was actually a little bit chilly at times over the weekend. Do you follow the age-old principles of layering?
Oh, layering.
Yeah.
You either layer or you change clothes 1,000 times here in Santa Monica. You know, like yesterday, I think I was... it was like I was a fashion model, for God's sake. I was a runway model. Kept going back, changing clothes. I have the kind of pants that the bottom the bottom part zips off.
Oh.
Because you need that.
That's fantastic. That would be great. I mean, obviously for travel, but I think anytime.
Yeah, no, they're my uniform starting in, well, June. Well, I'm looking forward to coming to Jonathan's. You know, it's one of my favorite places to play. And, of course, what could be wrong with being in Maine? Nothing.
No, that time of year particularly good. And then you're swinging back around in September to be at the beautiful Strand Theater in Rockland.
Which I also love. Have you ever done the flight to Rockland from, I think, Boston?
No. Is that like a little, a six-seater maybe?
I think it's Cape Air. You know, I'd be surprised if they still had it, but years ago I did it. Oh, my God, gorgeous.
That would be a phenomenal, little flight there. Although I'm always, and this is me, this is my little psyche, and I'm not afraid of flying, but I in my mind, I always imagine the worst, and for me, the worst is going down over water. I want to crash into a mountain or something like that because I don't want to be eaten by sharks.
Oh, I never think it out quite that far. I don't. What's that movie? Was it Cat? What's the Tom Hanks thing?
Oh,
Castaway.
Castaway. Yes.
Yeah. I don't have like a Castaway thing in my head.
No, and I don't want to be like the former guy going off on a long dissertation about the shark or the battery powered engine. God, wherever he was going with that.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the thing. He thinks he's a comic.
Oh, yes.
Okay?
Yes.
It's clearly his fondest dream. Well, his fondest dream is to not go to jail. But his second fondest dream is to be a comic. And so every time he does that, you know, something of that nature, I have to say that, you know, my brethren get all hung up on it, thinking, you know, oh, he's got to... First of all, that's not... I don't believe that is a symptom of dementia. Second of all, no, he thinks he's making a joke. He's just not a good comic. That's all. It's the same thing for lots of things he said. The stupid, what is it, the thing he likes? What was the one? Oh, the one about the made-up character that is a cannibal. Hannibal Lecter.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same thing.
You're right.
Hannibal Lecter.
Right.
He thinks he's funny. The problem is he's not.
Well, he needs a Mark Burnett or whoever was writing the lines for him on The Apprentice.
Right, exactly. Yeah, he's got a. I have a friend who says when a joke isn't really well thought out, it's a little doughy still. So it's doughy.
A little doughy works for him on a number of levels there.
Yes, he is. He's the evil. Doughboy, the evil, was it Pepperidge Farm?
Right, Pillsbury, yeah.
Pillsbury.
Except when you poke his belly with your finger, instead of laughing, he passes gas.
Oh, God, yeah. Just horrible things come out, I would assume. Yeah, oh, gosh, what a mess we're in. I can't wait till it's all over.
Me too. Paula Poundstone with us here on Downtown. I have to ask you, speaking of different careers... is there the possibility that you will venture into the world of television weather forecasting?
You know, I'll tell you, my manager and I were talking the other night just about my, you know, business. And I said to her, I go, I got to tell you something. That weather person job in Fresno is looking pretty good right now. I have a podcast called Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, and it's a comedy podcast. We also share, we usually have on an expert on some topic. We'll frame it in, we're talking to somebody who does a job, and we frame it as, could I do that job? And we have hence Career Corner. And just on our last episode, we had Career Corner with Fritz Coleman. Fritz is a staple. Well, he's no longer the weatherman here, but he was for almost 40 years. The weatherman on Channel 4 in Los Angeles. And Fritz is also a stand-up comic. So we, you know, and I used to always make a joke that we have a weatherman who's a comic because we don't have weather. And it turns out when Fritz explained on the podcast the origins of how he got that job, that's exactly right. He was at the Comedy Store, and the guy from the newsroom saw him and said, would you come be the weatherman? And that's exactly right. So he was answering whether or not I could be a weather person. And I think the answer is I probably could. Here in this area, I'm not. I said, well, what would I have to learn to do? He goes, well, he said, when you first start doing the green screen, because, you know, there is no map when the weather person is doing the weather.
Right.
There is actually no map behind them. It's just a green screen. And I think there is a map that they can look at across the way to sort of help them guide their hand. But he said, when you start out, you do these broad movements. And then as the years go by, you can, you know, you get specific enough, you can do zip codes. But so I'll just, you know, California's a big state. I can wave up and down a lot.
I'm so old that years ago when I was first starting out in the business, I actually filled in as a weatherman for a few weeks. And it was so long ago that I actually had a map behind me with a little grease pencil, and I had to write on the little high pressure systems and all of that sort of thing. I know, but it made it easier to
understand it all.
No, gosh, no. But I found if you just drew a lot of symbols and numbers on there, then people would not listen, and that was good. Now, do they do this in California? Because here, the local newscast, if it's 30 minutes long, it's about 23 minutes of weather.
Oh, no. You know what dawned on me? Every now and then I work in Alaska. Which is really a treat, of course, to talk about beautiful. Mm. But it dawned on me, when you watch the weather, right, and they'll do the national weather, they never say there's going to be a snowstorm in Alaska.
That's right. They never say that.
If there were an earthquake in Alaska, they would cover it. If there was a tornado in Alaska, they would cover it. If there was a drought, if there was a flood. But they never say it's going to snow in Alaska. Hmm. And it does.
Yeah. A lot, yeah. I imagine. So, I assume that.
I guess they just consider it a constant, and they don't, you know, I mean, although it doesn't snow all the time, but nonetheless, I don't know. Or maybe the population is so small, they just figure, but, you know, if there was bad weather in Wyoming, they'd talk about it, wouldn't they? And there's only, who lives there? Liz Cheney, her dad, and two other people.
Right.
There's no reason to tell Wyoming weather.
You are still maintaining such a rigorous physical fitness regime. You posted recently about doing jump rope. I am so envious of you. I think if I tried to jump rope at this point, I would end up hogtied on the floor.
No, you know what? It comes back. When I first started trying to do it, it was you know, really hard, and I could only get a couple in. But it comes back, and once you And there are times where I'll do a whole bunch one day and then I try to do it the next day. And for some reason I can't. I think it's probably more psychological than physical. But they say riding a bike comes back. But I'm not. I used to be a bike messenger, for heaven's sakes. And now I can barely, I ride a bike like Alice from the Brady Bunch. But I do find that rope jumping, comes back. You're still going to have your gravitational problems, but outside of that.
The gravity, it weighs heavier on me now than it did in my 20s and 30s, I think.
Yeah, well, it depends what state you're in.
Paula Poundstone with us here on Downtown. She'll be at Jonathan's in Ogunquit on July 12th at the Strand in Rockland on September 7th. The podcast is continuing to go well. How do you decide who those experts are you want to have on the show?
Usually it's subject matter. I'll get thinking about stuff and come up with something I've always wondered about feel like, boy, and a lot of stuff. I have to say, are you like this as an interviewer? I'll talk to somebody and I'll write down the sort of essential questions that would scratch the itch of wanting to know that, or even in a more important way, there was something that I wasn't doing right, or there's something I didn't know how to do, and now I have this person explain it. So, I write the questions down. I ask what I think is important. And after the interview, I can't remember a damn thing they said.
That happens with almost everybody I talked to, but except you, of course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The stuff I say to you, you go embroider on a sampler that you then hang in your kitchen.
Yeah, and occasionally just go right out and get a tattoo.
Oh, wow. That's the modern way. Yeah, so people will say to me, well, what's the best thing you've learned? Or, who was the best guest you had on? And we've had really terrific guests, and mostly I can never remember. Although I will say, for some odd reason, somewhere in our first months of doing the podcast, and we've been at it for about 6 years now, somewhere within our first months, we had a plumber. And they told me that if you pour warm water, hot to warm water, down your toilet, every so often, they said every month or so, it will help with your pipes. And they also said, don't flush Kleenex. Neither thing had I ever heard of before.
No, and I heard that on the show, too, and ever since then, I have stopped. I never flush Kleenex because I heard it on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
Wow. Yeah. Look at that reach we've had.
Yeah.
It was so helpful. We used to have the plumber so frequently. Now, there's a couple of reasons why we have to have the plumber so often, not the least of which is we have these, god-awful trees, the roots of which grow right through the pipes. And so it's usually that causing the problem. But since I've been using this approach, it has helped.
No, it's worked. It's worked for us as well, and we do have that root problem too. What's up with Wait, Wait? Are you going to be on there again soon?
I was just on, I think, not last weekend, but the weekend before.
Right.
And I'm going to be on again. Sorry, I have a chronic cough. I apologize. And by the way, we've interviewed a pulmonary person before to try to help with the chronic cough. but I still keep coughing. I think I'm on the week of July 11th, I think. So the answer is yeah. That's a show. That's the same thing with that show. As the years go by, there's usually some odd little piece of information you get from that show. and I used to remember it real well. I used to have sort of a junk drawer of information that I had gotten in my brain from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And now, I don't know, it overflowed. It got disorganized. I can't remember anymore.
How are the...
Hey, speaking of remembering...
Oh, yes.
Have you seen Inside Out 2 yet?
No, I can't wait. It's on my list to get to this week. Lewis Black is a friend of our show. Carrie, you've seen it, right?
Yeah, my wife and I went to it last Tuesday. So yeah, we saw it. Absolutely loved it. Great, great film.
Isn't it great? I work in Riley's brain. The little girl. So for listeners who don't know, it's the story. It's a sequel to the story of the characters who are largely emotions in a little girl's brain. And now she's just become, in the sequel, she's just become a teenager, and they expand the cast of characters of the emotions in her brain. And I have a very, very small role that was so much fun to do and so great to be associated with a movie that's so terrific. I work in the memory doing the forgetting. And it's perfect given that I can't remember a damn thing. When my kids were little, they would say to me, you know, I have to have a blah, blah, blah for school tomorrow. And I'd say, well, why are you just telling me now? And they'd go, I told you. And I would say, okay, did you see me write it down? I go, because if I didn't write it down, it's the same thing as you not telling me. I'm a master of the list of things to do. And if it's not on the list, guess what? It doesn't get done.
I'm with you on that. I have two. I have the list that I carry in my pocket and then the list I keep at home in case I lose the other list.
You know, one of the things that's often on my list, because usually somewhere I just grab a piece of paper and write something down, and eventually there's this sort of, like autumnal leaves, you know, there's this big pile of papers. And so one of the things that's on my list is organized lists.
Oh, sure, sure. Do you ever do this? Yeah. I think this is a sign of my own twisted, battered psyche that occasionally, and usually it's if I haven't been feeling productive, I will, as I'm making my list for the next day, I will write something down that I've already done just so I can check something off.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. You gotta have the low bar.
Good, good. I'm glad it's not just me.
You don't have the low bar. You're never going to reach the high stuff. Yeah, no, I will literally write get up. And that's a runway.
Right.
That's a runway to the rest of, you know, to the rest of the list. And then there's the things that are almost list decoration. The things that you just switch from list to list each day,
oh,
but
yes,
never actually do.
Right, right. Those are the perennials. Yeah. I enjoy seeing those on there.
Yeah, right. To just make you feel grounded and to never, you know, among the list of things, and this is an important list. Speaking of lists, wait, I'm going to find it. Among the list of things that give one happy chemical releases in their brain, I have it on a list, but it's not a well, the notebook that I have it in is not well organized. So among the list of things that give you a happy chemical release in your brain is those kinds of achievements. I'm sure that's what makes me, be such a list maker, is that I've gotten that, you know, that little happy chemical hit from crossing something off. But there's lots of things, different happy chemicals for different things. Okay, here it is. Dopamine, eating food, here it is, achieving a goal. And I don't think it has to be an enormous goal. So those kinds of things. So you get a dopamine hit for achieving a goal, here it is, completing a task, self-care activities. Here's one, oxytocin. You get a hit from socializing, from physical touch, from petting animals, from helping others. Now, based on that, because I have 10 cats and 2 big dogs, based on that, I should be just riddled with oxytocin. I don't think I am. And, of course, you get your endorphins from exercising, listening to music, even watching a movie and laughing. Look at that. That makes me a proud member of the endorphin production industry.
Well, we appreciate your efforts on our behalf.
All right, so long as I've read three of them, I'll read you the last one.
Yes, please.
Which is serotonin. Oh. You get serotonin from sun exposure, from mindfulness, from being with nature, and from meditation. Okay, I can't meditate to save my life.
That's a hard one. I struggle with that because I can't. I have a hard time shutting things off up there.
Yeah, me too. And that sounds like I'm doing, you know, some important productive thinking. I'm not. I'm just thinking. I think a lot about things in the past. Like, I don't know. I'll just be sifting the litter boxes, and I'll think to myself. I went to school with two boys named Eric and Jerry Waldman, and I do feel that I owe them an apology, and B, I often wonder where they are and what they're doing. So if anybody out there, I can't imagine that they live in Maine. I just don't think of them as Mainers, but what do I know? Eric and Jerry Waldman, if anybody knows where they are, please contact me.
I find the closest I can ever manage to get to meditation is if I'm doing a bunch of like mundane tasks all at the same time, you know, like doing two or three different things, and that sort of blanks out my mind a little bit. And I feel like that's what you're supposed to do when you're meditating, but that's the only way I can get to it is by being just the opposite of what everybody says you're supposed to do when you meditate, which is be still. But if I'm doing a bunch of little things, my mind blanks out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I like a mindless activity.
Yeah.
And when I try to clear my mind, and all of a sudden I'll be, without realizing it, trying to remember lyrics from obscure 70s top 40 songs.
Which, by the way, I can't do. Now, I have a daughter, my middle daughter, who played the violin growing up. Still does, but, you know, in the Santa Monica music program, blah, blah, blah. And I would argue that kids who, you know, really study music, or anybody who really studies music, listens differently than just a regular person, I think. I know the violin players have all sorts of different, you know, connectors in their brain that not just anybody has, and I'm sure that applies to all instruments and any number of activities. But anyways, we would be in the car, and a song would come on from the 70s, right? And I'd, you know, sing along, and she would turn to me and go, "That's not how it goes." And, you know, she was always right. And I'm like, when could she? She might have heard that song once in her life. I heard it literally, you know, hundreds of times. So then now when she goes, "That's not how that song goes," I always say, "I'm singing a different song." That's my.
Well, yes, and if you've sung it wrong for 40 years or so, then, you know, those are the lyrics as far as your brain is concerned.
Yeah. I wish that the artists who make the songs would just change the lyrics to those that we always thought they were. Make it a bathroom on the right.
Well, Springsteen did that after, was it Manfred Mann recorded, I can't even think of the song, but we all thought in the 70s they were singing "Wrapped Up Like a Douche." I'm like, why would you have that in a song? But Springsteen actually sings it that way now because that's what everybody thinks the lyrics are.
Oh, I really appreciate that.
Yeah. That's Bruce.
You and Me Endlessly?
What's that?
Grooving?
Oh, yeah, You and Me Endlessly. Yeah. Yeah.
I always thought it was You and Me and Leslie. And I never thought it was weird. I just thought, look, they have fond memories of hanging out with, you know, friends. Okay.
Sure. My favorite one was the old Cher hit that apparently more than a few people thought was Gypsies, Chimpanzees.
Oh, wow. No. No, I always, you know, I related so much to Cher.
The most embarrassing one that I ever had, my wife finally corrected me on, and I'm a huge Warren Zevon fan. For years, I thought the line, "and his hair was purple." I thought that was the line. It's the line is, "and his hair was perfect." And finally, after years of me singing along with it, Loretta said, "Why do you say purple?" Because that's the lyric. And she, no, it's not.
Like, why would?
Well, that's not the kind of thing people can say to one another early on in a relationship.
Right. Yeah. It takes years of trust and correcting you on other things along the way. Paula Poundstone, if you have a list, if you're a list maker, make sure you put July 12th, Jonathan's Ogunquit on your list. Paula's going to tell them, and you want to be there for it. Paula Poundstone, always a pleasure to talk with you. Travel safely, my friend, and we look forward to catching up with you again soon.
All right. Thank you so much. It was great talking with you.
Thanks, Paula.
Love you, Maine.